Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, a show where we discuss trends, marketing, pop culture, and design justice. Because at the end of the day, everything is an ad. I'm Luz Corona, Adweek Community Editor, and I'm here joined by two friends, Rebecca Stewart, Adweek's Your Brand Editor, my co-host, and our senior producer of podcasts, Al Manarino. Friends, how are you?
So good.
So good. Good.
So good.
Always nice to have Al on this side of the mic.
Yes.
Is it? No, it isn't. It is. Al is our voice of God at events. It's, you know, he's got a nice voice for sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, let's get into this.
Yeah, today we have Karen Baker from Boathouse, and she is giving us the 101 on design justice, which today I learned is an approach to design that will advance and embody the design justice principles in practice. It's such an interesting kind of concept, and I absolutely loved digging into this with Karen and Luz. But before we go into that, we've got a few reminders for you guys. And Luz and Al, you're going to be at Social Media Week tomorrow. Tell us more about that.
Al, you're the voice of God. Give
yeah,
it to us.
That's right. That's right, Luz and Rebecca. No, so excited. Yeah, Social Media Week 2024 kicks off tomorrow, if you're listening to this today when it drops on Monday. We are so excited. Luz and I will be there recording a ton of podcasts, so please stay tuned. Those will not be live streamed, but if you want to see some of the main stage content, Luz will be on stage. Luz, who are you speaking with on stage?
I am talking to JP Petty, our friend from Wyden and Kennedy. He was on the podcast earlier last year, and Zay from Instagram, and they're going to talk about really cool, inclusive campaigns that they've worked on together. What about you, Al?
You're moderating. I will be speaking to Hannah Berner, co-host of Giggly Squad, stand-up comedian from Brooklyn, and she hosts a few podcasts. She's awesome, so I'm really, really looking forward to talking to her, especially because I love the space. But yeah, Megan Thee Stallion's gonna
Megan
be there.
Thee Stallion, marketing baddies, stand-up.
Yeah. So yeah, as I mentioned, we're gonna be recording a bunch of podcasts that are gonna be on this feed in the near future. So really, really excited about that. But unfortunately, it's sold out.
It's sold out. You can't come, but you can come virtually.
You still can come virtually. Check out the show notes. If you want to attend virtually, you can still get passes for that. But yeah, very, very, very excited about Social Media Week this year. It's always a fun time, and it should be a pretty crazy one with Megan there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to shout out, like, Megan was on our April cover, and she looks amazing, and she done an incredible interview with Leslie. I just thought Leslie packed so much into that piece. Like, I really got a sense of the kind of conversation that she had with her. And there's so much to Megan. She's just amazing.
She really is. She's everywhere. She's Lady Fitness. She is just like, she had the big Cheetos campaign last year. She's having a moment, and we'd love to see it.
Yes, so please don't miss out on that. And I've just got another reminder for you, and that is that tomorrow, April the 9th, is the very last day to submit your nominations for our legendary Creative 100 list, where we highlight innovators, creative leaders, creators, and more who should be on your radar. Remember to nominate someone else or yourself before April.
Yeah. And Bex, we're going to be working on that together. You, me, Brittany, and Terry, right? We're
going to be finalizing the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been a judge on it, but this year I've been asked. So can't wait.
Yeah. It'll be good. Now, without further ado, let's jump into our chat with Karen. Thanks, friends.
So welcome, and welcome, Karen, dialing in from DC today. We're so happy to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a rainy day here, but other than that, I'm excited to be here.
It's gross here in New York.
And in the UK. You're not alone.
All right.
But Karen, you're here today to talk us through this concept of design justice, which is fascinating. But before we come on to that, can you give our listeners a little bit of background on yourself? You're founder and president of Boat House. And as I said, you're based out of DC. So how did you get there? What's been your journey so far?
Oh, that's a great question. So I started out with my own company. I had my own company for 23 years, CEO. And then I got to a point, I was like, I'm a little tired. And
I would love understandable.
To go, yes, put my energy into someone else's company and be with a larger team. And really, at the time, I didn't know it would be exciting to work for other entrepreneurs, you know. So I came to Boat House 2.5 years ago. They were in the point of wanting to grow the company, and I was in DC, came in to found the DC office, really the DC region, and became president of that as well in order to expand, you know, really the work that they had been doing and grow the services that they had really been doing but had not named per se. So we went from 2 services to now we have 5.
Gotcha. And sorry, just want to jump in. Where would we have seen your work? Like, what clients do you work with and what kind of work do you guys do?
Yeah, so we do a lot in healthcare, financial services, higher education. So Mass General Brigham is one of our clients. We also just took on America's Test Kitchen, which if anybody watches PBS, they've been on PBS for quite some time, yes. America's Test Kitchen as well. And then before I came to Boat House, I had done stuff for Red Bull, Black Entertainment Television. I've been a lot in that world as well, too. So, yeah. So it's been from social impact to how it plays into marketing and communications. So
I want to get into this because topic of design justice, because this is like one of the first times I've heard of it, Karen. But before we jumped on the call, you said it's not a new concept. So can you talk us through what design justice means and what the guiding principles are?
Yeah, so there's 10 guiding principles, and they gathered in 2014. So they're really rolling up on a 10th year as a community to figure out how design really and social justice could be combined. And through that process, they developed the principles, they developed the membership, which I'm a part of. And then the growth has been really exciting to see. So I don't know how many of us in the membership. We definitely have to be at probably about 600-700, maybe even 1,000 people in the membership, because I think over the last 2 years, it's seen the most growth. And design justice probably heightened its awareness, pushed with its principles most during 2020 and during the times of what we experienced during COVID, because we saw a lot of injustices come to the surface, I guess you would say. And they stepped in to make sure that they gathered community, and we started to push forward about in different areas, from technology to pedagogy, you know, to community work, to art, to see how we could bring these principles into practice in that way.
So would you say it's like an approach on how to do design and creative?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is a practice, and it does have methodologies that can go along with the practice. Because I've had people ask, and I appreciate the question, Luz, is it a theory? No, it is a practice. People say they are a practitioner in design justice. And then people use different methodologies around it. Like I use design thinking as a methodology. I may use theory of change as another approach to using design justice, because the principles are really, really clear. If you take a look at them and you read them, they really put the community at the center of the practice versus the designer at the center of the practice.
And, you know, you mentioned that this is like a practice, but it's also like kind of a community, you know, it was founded 10 years ago. So who are some of like the founding members of this community, and how did it come about?
Yeah, it's a gathering. It's interesting because my advisor at where I'm getting my doctorate at, Leslie Ann Knoll, she was part of the 2014 team, you know, that gathered together. They really brought a lot of educators together. Dr. Sasha, she's very big in making sure the LGBTQIA community has a strong presence in design. She was part of the initial, she wrote a book called Design Justice, which a lot of people use in practice, particularly in PhD programs and how they used design justice in different industries as well, too. So it was about 35 people that came together in 2014 who were designers who were really wanting to make sure that social justice became coupled up with design as a practice.
So, Karen, what are the guiding principles here, and how can our listeners, like, how can they apply it to their own work, specifically in the digital world, now that we're kind of entering AI and everything is digitized?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll talk about two principles that I use a lot, and I've talked about one in particular that deals with digital transformation, which impacts the digital world. And so, like I said, it's 10 principles, but the third one deals a lot with prioritizing design in the community and you not being the center. So I'm big on saying that designers need to have a seat at the table, but at this table, you need to listen, right? You need to be in active listening mode and allow the community to tell you what their needs are. The other one is principle 5, where we talk about designers being facilitators. And this is what I mean by listening. So you're really guiding the conversation in order to allow the community to tell you what they need. So when we fast forward, we look at the digital world, when we look at marketing and communications, it has had what I consider bad behavior of bringing things into the market without talking to those who are going to be the end user of what exactly they're actually designing, right? That's why I say design is so powerful, because if you are not practicing, let's say design justice, even design thinking, you go in and you design something based on what you think is necessary, right? And then you don't test it out. And then everybody has to go through the fumbling and the cause and effect of what you actually have designed. So with design justice, let's not do that, right? Let's have these conversations with the communities that are gonna be impacted by what you're designing, particularly the focus of design justice on marginalized communities.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And like when we're talking about this in relation to brands, we're talking about like every touch point, right? Not just digital, like physical, like every interaction a consumer has with a brand. And just when you're talking about it, something that came to mind for me there is that last year Diageo launched this commitment to inclusive design, and it's training like all of its thousands of marketers across the world in this practice. And when I first wrote that story, I was like, this is such a new concept to me, but it completely makes sense, like putting the individual that you're designing for at the heart of the design. And that can be whether it's around like accessibility or inclusivity. Right. So it can be quite complex, but I feel like Diageo is one brand leading the way. Can you think of any others, Karen, that are good examples or strong examples of brands or campaigns that have taken a like design justice approach to a campaign or a product or a touch point?
Yeah, you know, some have really just been already doing it. And then you talk about Lego, already been doing it, you know, and you talk about accessibility, understanding that, practicing that, putting it into the metaverse and the gaming industry. They are an excellent example. It'd be great for them to start to use the word design justice. It would really amplify because that's what they've been doing, you know. Mm. And some people use the term inclusive design, you know, and what you're doing as well, too. The difference is, in inclusive design, which I practice as well, you don't have these set of principles that I think guide you, that you can revert back to and make sure you're staying on task as a designer. But Lego is a really great example of being able to do that. Even companies like even Netflix has been trying design thinking and seeing how they can be more inclusive in design as well, too, you know, about how people interact, you know, with the face of coming in to watch a movie, you know. So there's quite a few companies that I do appreciate that are staying consistent through the changes that we're seeing with diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Gotcha. And this is a question coming, I guess, like probably from a privileged point of view, but like you just mentioned Netflix, and I haven't noticed, but you have an eye for this. Like, what has Netflix done that is an example of design justice?
Well, you know, one thing is looking at the consumer from so let's just think about the facilitation end and what the community may want, right? So when you turn around and you go, and this may seem small to people, but it is design. So if you go in and you're looking at a movie, you know how it exits it out to give you a little preview of what's going on? Yeah. That was a demand of the community. They asked that they be able to preview prior to. The other change that has come only in the last couple months is when you finish out a movie, if you notice the like button and the like love button comes up immediately following, because that was something they went out to the community and said, what do you want, right? It may not be justice per se, but it's using design as a principle to empower the community to give them what they're asking for. So you no longer have to exit out, go find it, click it. It's just a lot to a process. We're doing that, you know. So those are the things that I'm seeing that are changing in that particular area.
So it's almost like a more considerate user experience.
Very true.
Gotcha.
Very true. And then you can go deeper with that, particularly if you're dealing with a community who has been unnoticed, you know.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, are there any, or of course there are, but what communities do you think are really underserved by brands when it comes to design? Like, what communities are in brands' blind spot, I guess?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because the African-American community continues to be in a blind spot.
Yeah.
Even though they consume and we consume so much, we're still in a blind spot. The next would be you have Hispanic heritage. Indigenous has been completely forgotten.
Right.
When you talk about marketing and communications, even in positions, we still are searching for people who come from Indigenous communities, particularly if you say Native American, being in positions of leadership in marketing and communication. So that's a problem.
Yep.
You know, that's a problem. You can't keep designing things and then you look around and no one in that community is part of your team.
Mm-hmm. Right. And as a starting point for brands, like, do you have any advice? Like, if a brand hasn't even thought about this, or like, it might, design justice might not have entered their lexicon yet, what's like a starting point, a simple thing that they could do that could help?
It's hiring. Mm-hmm. It really is the simplest thing. It's looking at that table in a leadership capacity of those decisions that are being made and hiring. And then that will start to trickle down. I mean, you all know sitting here, when people see themselves in leadership, they feel more comfortable to be part of something. So I charge CEOs with starting to pay attention to who they're hiring in order to make sure that they start to even look, is there just? This is a just organization and what we're doing. Is it inclusive? Are we thinking about equity? Even the amount of women that are sitting in leadership positions, we still have an issue, particularly in marketing and communications.
Amen. So what I feel like I want to drive this home. Like, why is this so important for brands and marketers to really think about moving forward? Like, say the people who are listening to this podcast, like some food for thought on how to incorporate design justice, like why this is so important and it's not going to be a movement that's really going away anytime soon.
Oh, I appreciate the last part because it's not going away anytime soon.
That's
particularly
right.
Not on my watch.
It's not going away
anytime soon. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is a political conversation right now, right? And if you are paying attention to anything, particularly in the United States, it is a political conversation. People are losing their jobs. They are, some people are afraid to have the conversation around diversity, equity, and inclusion. So how do we drive this home? We have to ensure the conversation continues to be there. I don't care if you change the name, but the stories that of other people, diverse stories, are going to continue to need to be told. You're not going to be able to forget completely about people because they're going to stand up and say, I'm here. When are you going to start to address my needs in that particular way? So brands are going to have to pay attention to that. They're going to have to make decisions around that early, not jumping on the bandwagon late. You know, don't wait until we go through an election in November 2024. Start dealing with this now. Put your dollars behind it, you know, and stand up. Lean in. Don't lean back.
Love that. Lean in. Don't lean back.
Yeah, such good advice. Thank you so much, Karen. This has been a really illuminating conversation. I didn't know much about this topic at the start, but I'll definitely be questioning brands on it when I'm speaking to them from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to. And let me know what they say.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to take a closer look at just like these user experiences and just kind of like bringing like the disabled community. Is this accessible enough? Mm-hmm. You know, it's more than just alternate text.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's a 360.
I
think it's interesting kind of coming back to what you said at the start, like Web 3.0 is kind of, there's this opportunity to like rectify some of the mistakes made in Web 2, and inclusive design is a big part of that. So watch the space,
and we're early enough to go ahead and have that conversation. We're early enough to put it in practice. You know, we're early enough to look at ethics around it and make sure that we do not make the mistakes that we have made before. So brands have a lot of power, you know, and let's make sure they use their power properly.
Right. And responsibility. Yeah. I mean, they're shaping media.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right. We'll hold them to it, Karen. You sold
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. And
thank you.
Thank you for listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by me, Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens and John Heil, and edited by Lane McGivney at Boutwell Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all of Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.